Speaking to the Lord, then a little word of prayer. Our Father, in that precious name of thy beloved Son, we draw near to you. And thou knowest, Lord, each and every one that's here, they've come expectantly to hear thy word, to hear a voice from the Lord, as it were, that still small voice. And Lord, we pray that none would be disappointed. And we look to you to guide in the message as we seek to bring it forth for your glory and for your honor. We pray for those that are teaching our children in Sunday school, what a blessed work, and we pray to just encourage them and strengthen them and guide them. Remember the older ones that we understand are here with us this morning. May they take in some of these truths and bring glory to our Lord. We ask it all in that precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to take up a subject that I believe is just about one of the most important in the Bible. Well, now, that's a pretty big statement. And we might call it, what is God's purpose for you and me in our personal life? Purpose. What's so big about that? Why is that such a big thing? Well, as you think about it, as I've studied this, it really opened my eyes. God blessed me by some man in South Carolina called me up because of Overcomers, and he had a man here in Omaha that he wanted me to be in touch with. And in the process, seemed to be a very godly man, and he wanted me to have a book. Well, all right, if you want to send me a book, send me a book. Well, let me tell you, the small group leaders, it's a book with little portions, chapters, the green letters or something like that. It's a lot of different subjects throughout. I couldn't get very far, and I got into this one about purpose. I just said, I got to share that. And I wish we could do it in a small group type setting. But we'll just do our best here and now to bring it forth to you. Who can tell me what God's original purpose was in Genesis when he made man? Well, I'll give you a hint. Genesis 1:26. Here's a big hint. I'll read it to you. And God said, let us make man in our image. Now, wait a minute. God said, in our image? God is one. Which is our business? Well, those of us that know the Lord and believe the truth of the Trinity, there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're three in one. But God's purpose in making man on this earth, God said, let us make man in our image. Now, as we look into certain things here this morning, notice the little word image as well. Some of the verses. But what happened? Well, God made him man in his image in the realm of personality, intellect, emotions, and will, so that there could be communion and fellowship and cooperation between God and man. Did you get that? God wanted to have communion and fellowship between God and man, cooperation. Well, everything was going along fine. We know the story. I don't need to tell it. Is there any here? I don't know that any here do not know the story of Adam and Eve and how they brought sin into this world. Adam and Eve were beguiled by Satan.
And to be told that you can be as gods if you go ahead and eat of that tree, that forbidden fruit, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, they saw it looked good, so okay, they went ahead and had some. Well, we know that from this, Adam became self-centered instead of God-centered, and he became dead to God. Dead to God? Well, he lived after that. A spiritual death. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Dying thou shalt die. He begins the process of death. He lived 130 years? Or is it 930? That's more like it. Methuselah beat him. 969. But nevertheless, he began to die. Well, it's all right. He had children. What were his children like? It says, in this condition, Adam begat a son in his own likeness in Genesis 5:23. He begat a son in his own likeness after his fallen image. Could it be anything else but that? When God made man in his image, he made a perfect man. When that man failed, he has a child born in his family. If that child could be nothing but born in his image as well. And that brings you and I into this thing eventually. I sometimes tell people, when we are born in this world, we're born dead to God and alive to sin. If you're going to get to heaven, you got to become dead to sin and alive to God. Well, what's going to happen with this? What can God do? Well, you can't surprise God. There's no surprises with God. You know, I try to contemplate God, eternal God, something with no beginning and no ending and always was. What in the world did he do before he was? Or before the world was? Maybe he'll tell me, I don't know. You can do a lot of conjecture, but we know what he's done. So this was no surprise to God. If you look at Hebrews chapter 1, I got them written down here, so maybe we won't just turn to so many scriptures. It says, God hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. There it is again. There's that word image. The contrast to Adam, who spoiled God's image, is the Lord Jesus Christ, who's God's perfect image. So now, as we have in Hebrews 1 here, God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, is the brightness of his glory, the express image of God's person. So here we have the image of God back on the earth again. Adam, you can't spoil what God's going to do. Not completely. And we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45, it says, the first man, Adam, became a living being. Verse 47 says, the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. That's what Christ is to you and me. A life-giving spirit, not just a living spirit. He gives life. But when we were born now, we're born in the image of God. Something has to take place in order to us to get the image of God in us. Just as the first time we're born of the flesh, the Lord Jesus says a well-known verse in John chapter 3, you've got to be born of the Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not, he says, that I say unto you, you must be born again. You know, there's a lot of confusion about that being born again thing in the world, whether you're just one of those born again Christians. Well, you know, it surely makes a difference. In the news of late, we've had it brought to us, if you check the newscast sometimes, down in Texas, Tuesday, apart from the pardon, there's a dear lady who was born again in prison. She committed a horrible crime when she was in her early years. And it looks like she's going to be paid for that with her life. But I tell you, the pictures I've seen of her just briefly on the news, that lady's not the lady she once was. There's something different about her. Why, just, I don't want her to die, you know? My natural mind, but she's leading others to Christ. She's a living testimony. Her image is the image of Christ. And yet, she knows where she's going. She's ready. Yes, she's trying to do all things to keep alive. Why? So she can live for the Lord down here. That's for it. You and I should be the same way. But she's going to pay a price. It looks like Tuesday, whatever the hour is, that'll be your last hour on this earth. But what about you and me? Is there any here? During this week, and we heard earlier about some people being killed in car accidents. That should happen to you. You're sitting here this morning. Where would you go if you died? Do you know for sure? I had the joy of visiting with I didn't have the joy of taking my car in to get the brakes fixed, but he had to drive my car and drive me back in it. So I let him off the hook when he took me home, so to speak. But on the way back, I thought, I got to talk to this dear man. And I asked him about it. You know, he was open and receptive. No, he didn't get saved. But that's what you and I should be doing, to tell others what God's done for us. You know the greatest news, the greatest thing to know, and then you don't tell anybody. Think of it, to be at the judgment of the great white throne with the Lord. Somebody comes before the Lord before they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. And they see you there. Bill, why didn't you tell me? If you knew, why didn't you tell me? You know, sometimes children get saved, and the mother says that they knew this all the time, but mother, why didn't you tell me? I've heard of cases like that. It turned out that mother didn't really know these things at all. And so if you're a mother or a father or a brother or a sister and you don't know for sure, if you're open to knowing for sure, it's too great a price to pay to miss God's eternal salvation. That's what this new birth is all about. Becoming a new creation. And that dear lady's a good example of it. She's got, you know, I like it when somebody says, you seen brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so? Why? Or not necessarily call him by brother or sister, but you seen Bill or you seen Mary? Just use my wife and me for simple names. Why? They've got to change. They're different. There's something about them. I wish I had it. Can that be said in your life and mine? That we have the image of Christ in us so that others would say, I don't know what he's got. And I tell you, that dear lady down there, she just to hear, see her expression, I thought, you're going to die next Tuesday? She's just living for the Lord every minute she's got left. All right, enough of her. Turn now, I want you to turn to these two verses, Romans chapter 8, 28 and 29. I wonder if I were to ask you how many could quote this verse 28 if I started you out. For all things, and we know that all things, excuse me, we know that all things, most of us could quote verse 28, couldn't we? How many of us could quote verse 28, how many of us could quote verse 29? Not so familiar with that one, are we? But in view of this idea of God's purpose for your life and mine, let's read these two verses. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Is that not God's purpose for you and me? I never saw that before. Why, you read verse 28 and 29. Yeah, but I just thought about 28. And I'll tell you another, you know, confession's good for the soul. You probably didn't have this problem. Well, yeah, I'd hear verses like that, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Well, someday I'm going to be in heaven and I'll be the image of his Son. No, Bill. You're missing the point. It isn't when you get to heaven, it's right now, down here, we have to be the image of God's Son. Amen? Well, you knew that all the time. You weren't like me just thinking, yeah, that's what it says. Well, someday I'll be the image of his Son. I sure ain't now. But that's not God's way. We ought to be. That's what his purpose is for your life and mine. To be the image of his Son. Now then, it says, all things work together for good. Wait a minute. All things work together for good. In this article in the paper, or in the book that I got, it brought out, it says, here it is here. One of the most effective means in the process of making us the image and carrying out God's purpose is failure. Failure? I don't know if I want to be in the image of God's Son if I got to fail. No. I don't really mean that. I want to understand what this means. Sometimes people will do everything to deny or to hide the fact of failure, but maybe God has allowed this in your life and mine to make us realize you need Christ. You can't do anything without him. You can fail, but through Christ, turn it over to him now. And that's not exactly easy. So how do we do it? How do we turn things over to him? Well, you know, I'm thankful for the help in the verses. Turn with me to, it's 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. And one other comment here, 2 Corinthians 3:18. Did I not say that? Sorry. All right, 2 Corinthians 3:18. All right. It says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Yeah, well, what's that mean, Bill? You and I, he brings out the thought in this paper, cannot do this ourselves. But we can do it if we, when we read the Word of God, we read and listen, see what Christ is like, who He is, how He does, how He reacts to things. Sometimes the good for which God is working all things together in us is His original purpose for making us in His image, which is centered and expressed in His Son Christ, who is our Lord. But how does this take place that I can become in the image of Christ? And he brings out in this paper, don't try to do it yourself. That's why he says one of the most effective means is failure. Because it'll turn you to Christ, to look to Him. If we, in our great need, consistently and lovingly look on our Lord Jesus, revealed to us in the Word, the Holy Spirit will quietly and effortlessly change the center and source of our lives from self to Christ. Hence, for each one of us, it will be not I, but Christ. So as we read the Word of God, little by little, we learn about Christ and see how He does, how He reacts to different situations. It'll be like it says there in that 2 Corinthians 3:18, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, as we see Christ and read His Word. We'd be changed into the same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. And you can't do it yourself. It refers to a natural law. I call it the law of the kingdom. It's like Galatians, the law of the kingdom verse, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That applies to saved and unsaved alike. So here's this other law. God has a natural law in force to the effect that we are conformed to that on which we center our interests, our thoughts, our love. As the old preacher says, did you get that? A natural law. We are conformed to that in which we center our interests and our thoughts and our love. How many of us, as little boys, little girls, go to the movies and they show the cops and the robbers and the cowboys and the Indians? Do they still do that for the movies for children? I don't know. I haven't been to movies for years. But I used to come out of that movie watching the cowboys and shooting up the Indians, and boy, I'd go home as quick as I could to get my plague gun out and I'm going to shoot them up. I wasn't that way when I went in the place, but you see, that took all my thoughts, all my energies, and all my mind. I became like them. It brings out in this article that in Germany some years ago, it was full of little Hitlers. All because of a fanatical devotion to a second-rate paper hanger. And here in our country, it's comic books, radio, TV, movies have all contributed to us to a rising generation of young policemen, cowboys, gangsters, and so forth. We become like what we are occupied with. So what do? Be occupied with getting into your Bible, reading of the idea of just what is, get close to, get to know the Lord, get in His Word. If we are attracted to this present evil world, it says, we become increasingly worldly. If we pamper and live for self, we become more and more self-centered. But when we look to Jesus Christ, we become more and more like Him. And there's a reference that brought to my mind, 1 John 2:15 and 16. It says, I didn't write that down. I better look it up. Here it is. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now these things are all around us. Everywhere you go, everything you see on the TV, and I tell you, these advertisers, if we're going to watch the big football game at the end of the year, why, advertisers are spending millions and millions of dollars just to get their 30-second ad on there to attract my attention, get me thinking, what am I missing out on? These three things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. We've linked in the past three P's with that. The lust of the flesh, pleasure. You're missing out. That's of the world. That's going to detract from Christ. I'm not saying you shouldn't get a little time of rest, and if you could do it, go out to a nice lake and get a canoe and just paddle with your wife and canoe or something nice like that. No, that's not the kind of pleasure we're talking about. The lust of the flesh, temptations that Satan brings to us. So we want to not be like the world, have the lust of the flesh, pleasure, the lust of the eyes, possessions. Oh boy, look at that nice car. My car isn't doing so good. I need to get a better one. Possessions. Or look at the rings that they've got. Just anything that would attract us. Just would detract from the Lord. And then the last one, the pride of life. Maybe that's position. You know, who am I? Look at me. Look what I've done. Look at my position. You think of the corporate world that so engulfs a man, he just leaves God behind. Christ left behind. But for you and I, I have to tell you this saying, some of you have heard this, but somebody said to me, told me years ago what I ought to tell people when they ask, what is your business? I learned to tell them, well, I'm like the old shoe cobbler. Somebody says to him, what's your business? Well, my business is serving the Lord, but I cobble shoes to pay the expenses. Same way now, I used to say, well, I sold office equipment to pay the expenses. I hope that was with more than just from my mouth, within my heart. God knows whether it was or not. That ought to be our motive in life. Everything to please the Lord. To do what He wants us to do, not what we want to do. The good for which God is working all things is his original purpose of making us in his image. And I thought I had to wait till I get to heaven. No, no. Paul gives us a good verse on this. It's in Galatians 4:19. It says, Paul's determination for each of his converts was, my little children, of whom I travail in birth until Christ be formed in you. I didn't read that very good. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Those are the people he led to the Lord. It isn't just something we should lead them to the Lord and get them saved and let them go. He travailed in birth till Christ be formed in him. Up in heaven? No. That's proof. It's right down here. I didn't realize how it's possible for you and I to project the image of Christ. There's another verse in Galatians 1:16 where the thought is, Paul did not say that God separated me from my mother's womb to show what a wonderful man I could be, but to reveal his son in me. That's what God wants to do. He wants to reveal his son in you and me. You know, I can say he's got a big job on his hands. But am I willing to give him more of my time? Spend more time in the Word, just looking at Christ. I'll give you one example. The life Jesus modeled was a life totally dependent on God the Father. That's his life. Now, if we're going to model him, the life of Jesus was modeled on a life totally dependent on God the Father. John 5:30 says, Jesus says, I can of mine own self do nothing. I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. How about that? Can I say that? That I seek not my own will, but the will of God, the will of the Father in my life. So as you and I read things like that, we can ask ourselves these questions. And it just kind of would automatically start thinking different than you've been thinking when you go in for the worldly things that are out there to tempt us. There's much, much to drown out Christ. Got a little saying here, sin not only wounds the heart of God, but it also mars his image in you, the one who bears the title of Christian. Sin bears it's the model of the image of Christ in you. All temptation is an attempt by Satan to get us to live our lives independently of God. So we've got to be careful of what we see, what we read. I tell you, some of the men that come to my meeting on, have to admit, pornographic things have engulfed them, and they get you in bondage. And they want to get help. Thank God for that. Thank God we got something, it's Christ, can help them. So how do we do it? Well, there's a little something going to be in the handbook, the new Overcomers Handbook that we're working on right now. I think a little saying like this. It's hard to hear the still small voice with the radio blaring, the TV going, and the phone ringing. Push the off button and hear the voice of God more clearly. Some of us don't even know where the off button is, maybe. We don't want to know. That's where we got to do. You know, I was going to tell you at the beginning of this meeting to don't let me close without giving you a capstone verse, kind of cap it off. And I wanted you to remind me. I wanted to leave you in suspense. What's that capstone verse that Bill's going to give us? He'd probably forget to give it to us if I don't tell him. You know, the reason I hold it off is because I didn't get this part of this whole thing that he's making us in his image to what it was all about. It kind of clinched it to me. All right. Turn to Revelation chapter 1 or chapter 4 and verse 11. Revelation chapter 4. This isn't a capstone verse to fit. I don't know what one would put a cap on it any better. Everybody got it? It says, Revelation 4 and 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, that includes man, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. That's why He created Adam and Eve, for His pleasure. Created them in His image in order to be His pleasure. Because He knew there's nothing more perfect than Himself. Now that's because He's God. He can think like that and He is like that. But that was what I was needing. There's just something else. It didn't fully satisfy. He created us in the image of God. What for? For His pleasure. I wonder how much pleasure is God getting out of your life and mine. Well, what good is it going to do me? Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, if you and I live our lives to give pleasure to God, you can't get anything but good from it. They used to tell me as a young Christian, God is no man's debtor. You know, you can't give away more than God will give you. Somebody said if you're giving and giving and giving, God's coming along behind and you're shoveling it out. He's coming along behind. He's got a bigger shovel. And you can't outdo God. So you're going to be blessed by doing that. And there's one other good thing. Husbands, you can tell your wives sometime and see what they think you're going to do. You can say, honey, I'm going back to my bedroom for a little while to give a little delight to God. Wonder what he's going to do, think he's going to give delight to God. But here's a verse. Proverbs 15 and 8. The prayer of the upright is his delight. Isn't that sweet? And as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about the morning worship meeting. That must be a delight to God to see His saints coming together. And you know what I thought about? I think of it worldwide. And I'm sure that on the Lord's Day, worldwide, every hour, there's somebody somewhere meeting together to worship the Lord, to give Him delight. Why? Because of Christ, the image of God in these people, coming to exalt Christ every hour, 24 hours a day, on the Lord's Day. You and I are a part of it. So check with your husband sometimes. Hey, did you give any delight to God today? He'll know what you mean if you've been here at this time. So may the Lord help us to let the image of God dwell in us. Let it out for His pleasure. I got to give you one more to clinch that. It's in Colossians chapter 1. These are a beautiful portion about Christ. And we can't learn enough about Him. So here's that word image again. Colossians 1 and 15. Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him altogether and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Boy, that's beautiful. And the Lord help us to give him that preeminent place. Please God that in him he might have the preeminence. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you now for this time together this morning. We've been taking up a subject on the purpose of God for our individual lives. We've never quite seen it the same, Lord, that was your purpose, that we should be made in the image of God. That was ruined in when Adam sinned. But when you sent your Son, the image of God was back on this earth again in perfect perfection. And we, as we receive and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we receive Christ within. And through the Spirit of God, as we read the Word of God, we can become like God himself in the person of your Son. But you're going to have to do it, Lord. We can be changed from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. An image that someone could say, he or she is different. They've got something that I'd like to have. And oh Lord, that we could be that example and testimony. We know that oftentimes it means suffering. Unto you it is given in behalf of Christ. Not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his name's sake. What a privilege. This is part of the good things. All things work to glorify him and to make us more like him. So our Father, we just ask your blessing upon the word we've had before us. May we go from here desiring more to be like Christ, to live for him. We can't do it alone, so we look to you and thank you in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Glad to see.
Never hear the word hell mentioned. People don't want to hear it. Hell is real. Hell is reality for those that reject Jesus Christ. Gehazi was judged. But do you not think that Gehazi spoke to the people? Do you not think the hand of God speaks to you as you see what the impact was on this little girl when she was taken away some time before? And all of this when Naaman comes back and the people of Syria begin to ask him, Naaman, how in the world did you get over your leprosy? I went down to Israel and here's what happened. God's providential hand is at work and works through this little girl. Can you imagine the people that lived near Elisha when they saw this, what they thought? God has his way to get his story told forth. God has His way of revealing Himself to you. God says, I am not in the business of revealing to you the future. I'm in the business of revealing myself to you. We're more worried about the future than we are about God revealing Himself to us. Will you listen to God as He speaks to you? Will He have to speak in a judgmental way, in a judicial way? Or will He speak to you with the voice of a loving Father? Come unto me. And will you listen? Here's a story for us that speaks to us and the many lessons of how God works in people's lives. Do you want God to work in your life? If you want God to work in your life, He said, there's only one way. And Jesus Christ said it. He said, no man comes unto the Father but through me. And when Jesus went back to heaven, He says, I'm going to go back, but He said, the Father is going to send somebody to dwell in you. And that's going to be His Spirit, the Holy Spirit of the living God. You cannot respond to God unless the Holy Spirit is living in you. As the Holy Spirit lives in you, are you listening to Him? Are you bearing fruit for Him? Are you exercising those spiritual gifts that He has given to you that build up the household and the body of Christ, the household of faith? Listen to the voice of the living God. Speak to us from the Old Testament in the life of three men, Naaman, Elisha, and Gehazi. Will you learn a lesson this morning? Are you listening to God speak to you? I pray you will. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You again for this day. It's been good to be in Your presence with Thy children. Our Father, it's good for us to come together to listen not only to the voice of Yourself, but to hear Your word and let it speak to our hearts. Dear Lord, we thank You for each heart that's here this morning. May each heart be blessed from Thy precious word. Now as we part, we ask Thee for Thy blessing upon us as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.